What a privilege to be with the people of God. What a privilege together to a great living Savior who shepherds us. We just don't come to be with each other. We come to be with Him, and He's here. He's with us, the Holy Spirit. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. We'll actually be looking at two texts today, one out of the Gospel of Matthew, one out of the Gospel of John. About 10 days ago, 11 days ago, Brother John, I told you I'd do this. John Randall had asked me in my time being there in your home, what might be your focus in preaching in the coming days, coming weeks? I said, I'm glad you asked. Or we visited, and I told Brother John and the family that I would like to take maybe some stopping points or looks at some of the small events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I put that in quotes because there's no small event in the Son of God walking in the earth. Nothing small. But there are these moments that things happen and we kind of read right past them. And I'd like to slow down on some of these and look. As you read through the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ gives these amazing calls, these invitations to men, to young people. Invitations like no other man has ever given in the history of the world. Invitations that are beyond words in the fullness of what's being offered and what can be lived with Him. Though these invitations, like we'll see today, are short, they're commands, really, they're commands, but they're invitations in the context of how I'm presenting them. Even though they were short, they were profoundly life-changing from one kingdom to another. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, God's Word, and then we'll turn to John 12. May God bless His Word. One verse, chapter 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And He said unto him, Follow me. And he, Matthew, arose and followed Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 23. I'm sorry, we'll actually pick it up in verse 20 so we can see the flow. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee. And they desired him, and they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Philip comes and he tells Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip come to tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them and said, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. And here we are. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We'll stop there. Thank the Lord for His Word. Let's pray. Father, what a joy to be here, to hear the praises of God in song, in testimony, to hear the works of God in Your people. Lord, we turn now to Your Word, Lord God, that these truths, this living truth from our Savior would come forth with great clarity and help and power and authority. Speak, Lord. Draw us nearer to Thee, like we just sang. Draw us, Lord. Help us today for the glory of Your Son. Amen. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a follower? When Alan was working through those passages today in 2 Peter, and he said the whole thrust of Peter's question when he's talking about Noah is he's saying, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? Every Christian in this room should and would say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the right response. Whether it be in this room or this week, if you meet somebody and they ask you that, you should respond that way. But perhaps we don't really pause long enough to understand the immensity of the statement when Jesus says, follow me. We read it and we move on. Matthew got up and followed him. Do you understand what that meant? To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hopefully today will be precious to you and to me. So we should pause. The immensity of this statement, this offer, this command Jesus gives, follow me. It's not about a short-term following, right? If somebody says, Philip, I need to know how to get somewhere. Well, then just follow me. Take us 15 minutes. We'll get there. That's not what we're talking about. Or somebody needs help getting across college campus to find their building where their class is. And so they find somebody. Just follow me. That's not what Jesus is offering. It's not a short-term thing. It is a complete change of life. And it goes on to the end of our days. Jesus' invitation, this great invitation to follow me, involves a lifelong devotion and submission to the Son of God. And it is life at the greatest level. We're tasting of bits and pieces of it today together, to have Christ Jesus, but to be followers of Him. All the Gospels have this repeated. Go home and look them up today. Look at the times when Jesus says, follow me. When he meets Peter and Andrew, these fishermen, and then James and John, and this whole flow, he says to them, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. They put down their nets and they followed him. Then again, Jesus is being pursued, and he's being pursued by others. And you remember there was this disciple, or this one that was following along with him, this man, and he said, but I've got to go bury my father. Remember what Jesus said? Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me. There's a lot in that. We're not going to camp out on that one. The rich young man, he was wealthy. He was upstanding. Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. That's what he said. And then when Jesus was going through Galilee, it says he looked, he saw Philip, and he went to him and he said, follow me. You hearing this? This is forever. This is all that we are. And in these two passages that we read about Matthew and then about Jesus there with those other disciples, he's giving this same offer, this same invitation, personally, individually to Matthew. And then in the other passage where people are coming to see him, he goes into this statement about dying, losing your life, gaining everything in Christ, and he says, follow me, he that follows me. It's a universal call to all men. We could open the doors up, open this roof up, and speak it to these students, our fellow citizens in this area. Follow me is Jesus' command, his offer, his invitation. But I want today, and I'll try to move quickly, what does it mean to follow him? You children, you young people, those of you that have been in the faith for years, what does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want us to consider five aspects of this. There could be 55 or 205 aspects of following the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to cover five. Whether you've been a Christian for 2 months or 25 years, dear ones, hear these truths. And if you're not in Jesus Christ today, if you're on the fringe, if you're just coming to see, we would see Jesus. We just want to know a little bit more about what he's talking about. If that's you today, it's your day to come. Follow Jesus Christ today. And everything is new. Everything. First, To follow the Lord Jesus Christ means that you believe He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Redeemer who came. It's first and foremost in the turning of the grace of God in your life to turn and see and follow. I believe He is the Son of God. And it's not something that we waffle in thereafter. It's seeing Him, believing on Him. Yes, saints, to follow, that's why I wanted to pause. To follow is believing. You follow something you believe in, right? You follow that person or somebody in this context, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Lamb of God. To follow is to believe. Consider Matthew chapter 9. Matthew sitting at his table. It's really an amazing, if you look at historic context of what happened here. We hear tax collector, right? And we just think, man, another one of those rotten guys. But here we have a guy that this was his vocation, tax collector, Matthew. And he's probably, because of the flow of the Gospel of Matthew, but also in just considering the timeline of things, Matthew has heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. We might think this is his first encounter. That's probably completely incorrect. Matthew has heard some about the Lord Jesus Christ. What? How much? We don't know, but he's aware. He's already been through the Sermon on the Mount, multitudes and others that he's already been doing healings at his Jesus. And so Matthew, children, Matthew, he collects tax or tariff, and he's sitting or at his table or at his place along the roadway, and he's fixing to get a first-hand encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's heard about this great one. And so as he's sitting at his tax collector booth along the roadway, those that are coming by happen to be in this providential moment in the Lamb of God, and his life is Jesus Christ. And he turns to Matthew, it says, and he says unto him two words, "Follow me." Walk away from that. It's incredible, isn't it? You don't do that unless you believe somebody talking to you is very significant. You don't just walk away from everything. But at this point in his life, whatever had been happening by the power of the Holy Spirit in Matthew's life, whatever was occurring in him, by this moment, life, new birth, something divine, miraculous had happened in him, and he follows. Jesus says, "Follow me," and Matthew, it says, arose on the spot and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed. He trusted that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised one. And so he gets up, and the whole course of his life has changed, and he's going to believe and keep believing and go with this Messiah all the days of his life. He believed. It's faith, right? Faith, it's the beginning point. It's the passageway from death to life. God quickens, gives faith, and the believer now sees Jesus Christ is the only one. That's what's happened here with Matthew. This makes him a follower. If somebody doesn't have faith and they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You meet people at times, and they want to talk, they want to dabble some in this thing of Christianity and Jesus Christ. They don't follow Him, they don't believe Him. They haven't surrendered to Him. They don't get up from their table and walk away. Believing. You're talking about all in. "Thou art the Christ," as Peter says later. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Where would else would we have to go? You're it. That's what's happening here. I like the way one of the writers I read said, we do well to slow down and consider what Matthew does here. He takes Jesus' command and he follows it for the rest of his life. Just a brief illustration of this. Jason Sidler. A few hands in here would know Brother Jason Sidler. In the late 70s, Chris and I were teenagers in the church, one of the local churches here. We'd already been converted, but this wild young man on a motorcycle comes down, for I forgot where he came down, way up north somewhere, for a wedding. Jason's wife, Tony, works at Camp Copus and helps us all the time on planning things out at Camp Copus. But here we are, late 70s, guy comes down just as free as they come, but as lost as they come. He makes it to Texas, he goes to the wedding, and he begins to meet these people from the church. And word gets out he's been converted. What does he do? He never goes back. He got up from his table, like Matthew, Brother Jason Sidler, in that moment when God did a work, everything became new. He stayed here. He moved here. He was in the kingdom of God with God's people here. He went to seminary, became a pastor, and everything about his life was about the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed. He follows. What you believe and who you believe, you follow. That's a truth here at the beginning. Nobody follows the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of their life unless they believe He is the Son of God with all power and glory, and He's their Redeemer. That right there needs to be preached and set before people in this room and outside of this room all the days of our life. What does it mean to come to Jesus Christ and follow Him? It's not to dabble. It's not a sermon every now and then. It's not just a holiday event. It's following, devoted to Him. Second, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is to submit to His authority. To submit to His authority. That's implicit in who He is, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is. Submitting to His authority. He's the preeminent one. Right? He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. So to come to Him is, He's my Savior. He saves me from my sin, but He's my King. He's my ruler. He's my leader in all ways. He owns me. He's purchased me. Years ago, there was a guy I was working with, and he was a surveyor, really a brilliant mind. And he started coming to the Bible study in my work environment. And at one point, I said to him, "Gordon, the Lord Jesus Christ owns me. He owns me. I'm His." And he was troubled with that statement. He took a different job shortly thereafter, and he went to Alabama or somewhere. Another major kind of a company he went to work for, doing surveying, aerial ground marks, all kinds of cool stuff. I didn't know what happened to him. About a year or two later, he calls back. I get a call from Gordon. He wanted to check in. And in that phone call, he said, "I now understand what it means when you used to say, 'He owns you.' He's your authority. He's your King. Everything that He says, what the King says, is right. And it's to be followed. It requires complete surrender. If Matthew gets up and knows that he's the Christ, he's surrendered to the King of Kings from there on. Why are we here today? We're surrendered to the King of Kings. Joyfully surrendered. We follow Him. That is our life. He is our life. That's our message to our fellow man, to our families, to my little grandchildren. Jesus Christ is our all in all. We follow Him. We go with Him. The Greek word here, when you go back and look, and it's the same word we're finding over and over, the follow word in the English, but if you take it back to the Greek, it means that you submit yourself as a complete servant or a disciple. In fact, if you run it out a little bit further, it means, "I'm going to emulate everything that you are." You see why, when we read "follow me," we just think of the word, generally speaking, what follow is. It's a life decision. It is a total, all-in submission. I become the bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that He says, He gets to lead in. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. And therefore, to serve Him is the joyful life of following the King and following His commands, His ways, His glory. A servant, you submit to His authority. There's all kinds of people naming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not submitted to Him. They're not submitted. Saints, things are happening in this day. Things are being sifted all over the world. Christendom is being sifted. Can I say that? You understand what I'm saying? Where are real Christians? They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they submit to His authority. I could stop right there. That's what it means to follow Him. Not to dabble in cool artsy stuff and music and piddle around with stuff. It's to follow the Lamb of God forever. Brother Mac warned me, "Philip, don't get too strong here. Be careful. I don't want to come across mean-spirited. I'm just saying, to follow the Lamb of God, it's all that you are. I'm His. I'm surrendered to His. Men in your work, sisters in what you're about, that people would see it in your life. They would know you're surrendered to one and one only. They pick it up. They'll pick it up. And this is what was happening in what Jesus was saying when Andrew and Philip came to Him in John 12, which we read. When they came to Him, the multitude, these people were coming. They wanted to see Jesus. Okay? They, I mean, that's that we see that throughout all the Gospels. They want to see Jesus. And it's really meaning they were curious. He's doing miracles. He's done miracles for years. He's raised those from the dead. He has spoken things that have never been spoken. He has claimed authority and power like no man. He has to be divine. They wanted to see him. But that didn't mean they wanted to believe or follow him. When people come to Jesus Christ or come around his ways and his word and his and they're just curious, that's not following Jesus Christ. That's not. And Jesus makes it very clear. The whole context, and I won't go back and read through it, but the whole context in the John 12 passage is death to self. His example, he's going to lay down his life, right? He lays it down for us. And so he's speaking in this context that to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is you lose your life. You're surrendered. You take self and say, self doesn't matter anymore. I'm Jesus Christ. He's my head and my authority and all that I am. So this whole thing of losing life to gain the Lord Jesus Christ is Martin Lloyd-Jones said in the middle of the 20th century, I didn't lose anything when I left the medical field to be a preacher. I didn't lose anything. I gained everything to preach Jesus Christ in His glory. Tell that to the professional systems of the world. Tell that to the grand men and all their systems. To follow Jesus Christ is the life worth living forever. I'm not diminishing our role in society at all. I'm just saying there's no comparable, none comparable. He has all authority. We submit to Him. And therefore, He is to be followed all the way. All the way. Number three, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ means you obey His teachings. You believe on Him and you submit to His authority. So the natural next reality of that is, I obey what He says. Notice, saints, I'm using the word obey. A true Christian who truly follows Jesus Christ is obeying what He says, not considering what He says. Does it trouble you, bother you, and you realize people are, I'll consider what Jesus said. Isn't that an amazing thing? I'll just consider what God has said that He's done in past or present or what He will do. It's ludicrous, isn't it? To consider? That's not what we do. We don't search the Scriptures and come to these to consider. We come to His Word to obey it, to love it, and to live it. That's a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means we do His commands. I mean, it's constantly in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. He's calling all of us. Those you young people that are, you children that are 9 years old today or 14, He's calling you, He's commanding you to follow Him, obey Him. There's not a point in your life where that message is not true. It's true for a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old. It's true for all mankind. Obey. Believe on Him, submit to Him, and obey Him. It means without qualifications, without conditions, without reservations. Somebody might say, you really believe that? You're going to do that? Yes. Why? Because I want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're going to do that? Yes. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do this, and I am going to do this. People will see it. It's not about law or works. It's about the living a life in obedience and surrender to Jesus Christ. It's a testimony. It's a witness to a perishing world that is surrendered. Their life is totally ruled by the vanity and darkness of this world. To obey Him is to follow Him. This truth alone, just here, this thing of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, this truth alone exposes millions of professing Christians as lost people. They don't obey Him. They don't even know what He says. When Janae was a little girl, 10 years old, we were driving somewhere, and she was asking me about somebody I worked with. I was talking, true to Janae, for those few of you who know my daughter Janae, real straight face, Dad, is he a Christian? Well, you know, I think so. I hope so. You know, here's Dad trying to. Janae says, I said, I think he would say he's a Christian. Janae's just sitting in that front seat. Oh, Dad. Everybody says they're a Christian. Again, for Tom and Betty, Mac and Linda, and others who know my daughter Janae, you would understand how direct she was about that. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Talk show hosts through the years might have somebody on that lives a life of debauchery and then they say they're a Christian. People in our society, businessmen that are corrupt, whatever, just people in society, and they say they're a Christian, have no interest to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. It's completely and totally a fallacy. You believe on Him, under His authority, and you obey what He says. Right? The Lord Jesus constantly calls His people, His children, His that are been bought with a price, have been brought to Him. He constantly is teaching us, and He says, be ye doers of the Word. Don't just hear. The Sermon on the Mount ends, right? A wise man hears, he believes, he does what I say. He builds his house on the rock. Are you seeing people all over the world on sand right now going down? Yes. They don't build their house. They don't build their life on Jesus Christ. They build it on sand. The vanity of this world. And so the Lord Jesus says, obey Me. I want to obey Him more, don't you? Saints, are you listening? You think about this. It's good for these truths to come back to us. What's my following like? Where am I? Where I am on this one? Brothers, you men, are you walking in Jesus' commands? Do you love His Word? Are you putting them into your life? Are they washing you and correcting you and sanctifying you? Are you ignoring them and are you giving yourself to blatant sin? Men, brothers, all of you, are you keeping His commands? Are you piddling around with things that are ripping your life and sifting you? You see where I'm going? To obey the Lord Jesus Christ is to live in life and in grace and in His power. Sisters, does the Lord Jesus and His Word rule your life? Is His Word your meat and drink, you sisters, you dear ones? Or are you drifting along? You just kind of drifting along. And the vanity of the world around you and its calls. We can't drift. I appreciate it so much as Alan was emphasizing, so what Peter was emphasizing about those Old Testament events. You can't drift as a Christian. You have to keep pressing on under Him, listening to Him, obeying Him. You hear me, dear ones? You young people, is Jesus Christ your King? The King of Kings to you. You young people, 14, 19, 26, whatever. Or is this vain world alluring you? As a follower of Jesus Christ, we cannot get allured by the foolishness and emptiness of this world. We cannot. We've got to strengthen each other and encourage each other and help each other and speak the truth and give testimony like you did today. It honors God and it strengthens each other's faith. God's with me. God's with me. He is with those that are His. The true Christian obeys His teaching. The true Christian's heart says, Lord, teach me Your way. I want to go with You. Number four, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must or will expect opposition. Opposition. The followers of Jesus Christ are not just put on a nice chartered bus and taken to heaven. Isaac Watts. Shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Following Jesus Christ has a cost. Yes, it does. The gain is far better. The cost is to follow in the Master's footsteps. Eighth grader, it was ridiculed by one of my teachers. Other comments. High school, it was all kinds of things in the locker room and basketball and comments made. Others. In college, it's professors who wax eloquent that want to make Christians look like buffoons. They just need to be born again, right? They're lost without hope. But my point is, this thing of opposition. Opposition. We may or may not have to resist unto blood. Things are getting awfully dark in our day. We might. Children, I want to say this to you. It may cost some of us our lives to follow Jesus Christ. You need to hear that. You need to hear that. I know that my kids and my grandkids. They don't necessarily like to hear me say that. I'm not going looking for trouble. We're not looking for trouble. We're following the Master. Trouble comes. Opposition comes. Ridicule. Harshness. Cruelty. Lose your job. People cut you off. Whatever. Because to follow the Master, you're going to face opposition like the Master faced. Just write it down, young people, you children. Following Jesus Christ is the only life to live. But there'll be others who will hate you. They will not like you. Be ready. There's no false pretense in the Scriptures. The baloney and the lies of books and men that stand up to preach this, and they speak this theme of everything goes great, everything is great in what you'll be doing, implies that nobody has problem with Christians speaking against sin and living in holiness. It's wrong. It's not the whole counsel of God. Throughout the Scriptures, Noah in his day, through the Scriptures, not to mention the incredible lives of the apostles, these followers, these first-hand followers of Jesus, what they went through. The Scriptures tell us hostility comes, ridicule comes, pain comes, shame comes. I didn't like it in eighth grade when my teacher made me look like a fool in front of my friends in class. But you know what? God was in that. It was for my good. I might as well own it right then. If I'm going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I might as well get ready for comments. And I've lost friends over it. Meaning, they go their own way. There are people in this extended Denton community, because this is where I grew up, went through high school, graduated Denton High School a long time ago. There's friends that I had that were in church or in certain activities all those years ago. They're still in this area, and they don't follow Jesus Christ. Some of them would make mockery of me now. I'm just saying to you, saints, you might as well expect opposition. You're going to follow Jesus. We don't get a pass. You don't get a pass. You young people, if you go to college or something like that, training program, training school, where you go, just expect it. Love God. Love Him. Love His Word. Stand for truth. Be courageous, but expect opposition. Lord, help us. Arise. Stand. Be courageous. Speak the truth in love, but speak it. Live it. Consider Matthew 9 again. Matthew, this tax collector. I said he walked away permanently. You talk about blowing whatever business he was a part of. HR didn't get any time with him. HR didn't get to have his dismissal. They didn't get to transition him out. HR means human resources. Sorry if I'm... HR. They got it all, don't they? Don't get me started. But Matthew didn't have to worry about HR. He's at his table, and at the end of that day, he's not at the table. He never works for them again, and he spends the next 3 years following Jesus Christ, and then he loses his life for Jesus Christ because that Son of God, that Savior said, follow me. That's it. That's all he said. You got to believe he's something awesome if you're going to put it all on the line like that. Some of us, brothers, some of us are going to lose our jobs for the glory of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying it. It's happened through the ages. It happens. It's happening today. We have dear saints, dear brethren around the world. They're losing things. They may lose their children. Just grab tonight Fair Sunshine on your bookshelf you've had. Just read one of the martyrs. Read of one of those Scottish covenanters and what they went through. John Brown's wife, right? As he gets killed in front of his wife. And what she said about her husband and ultimately about her Savior in that moment, it'll strengthen your heart. Matthew gets up and walks away. He walks away from the world system. He walks away from all of that, and he goes into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the criticism and the contempt that he probably faced through the years from then on. Oh, that's that guy. That's that Matthew guy. Oh, that's that Zeke guy. He's really big on Jesus. Yes, he is. He needs to be bigger, more in love, more devoted the rest of his life. It happens to us. It can happen with family members, an extended family or a sibling or an uncle or somebody, a grandparent. It can happen there. They make mockery. You get opposition. They say, you're just taking this stuff too seriously. As though you can take the Lord Jesus Christ too seriously. Somebody needs to write a book with that title. It's impossible. You'll face opposition. You'll hear them either directly or privately say, they're one of those Jesus people. Take it as an honor. If your heart's right in it, take it as an honor. If they say, if they did like they did with the apostles, if they took note that they had been with Jesus, if that's true of you, sister or brother, amen. Continue on. Be known to be a follower of Jesus, a lover of Him. In the summer of 1971, God had mercy on me. This will be my 41st year. I'm sorry, 51st year to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've seen and heard some cruel things. I haven't been hurt. Obviously hadn't been threatened yet, not in the full sense of to be killed. But I have felt opposition, and it's real, and we need to be strong. We need to hang on to this glorious devotion to Him. Fifth, I said we wouldn't have time to stay on these very long. Fifth, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ means you are devoted to His people, His church, His kingdom. Man, this needs to be blasted across the world in our country. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in with His people. Michael came here 15 or more years ago and he did these sermons on this, the church. And he was in our house. He was just blazing on these truths. Yes, Michael Durham, right? Surprise you? It was wonderful. But as he was saying, how you view the Lord Jesus Christ is translated to see, how do you view His church? Things like that. Marvelous, so true. So right. Disciples of Jesus, followers of the Lord Jesus, they join in with His people. They're a part of them. That's why I just decided on Election Day to send you the note of when God let Chris and I meet Mac and Linda. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. I know y'all probably go, that seemed pretty random. I just wanted you to know how grateful to God 36 years ago, this month, because we were joined together. You know Mac, he's not going to give us any space. He follows us out to the car and he's got that left hand. He's got a scrap piece of paper and he gets his phone number on there and he's ready to have fellowship, right? He hadn't changed much, guys. He's ready for meals and coffee and we're going to fellowship. And I'm 20, whatever I was, 25 years old. Going on 25, it's 24. And I'm thinking, I like this guy. I still do. I remember when Lee and Amber, we met them, particularly at our house that night, that fun night where the church was having that end of the year party. And they came and they left and came back. They lived out of town, but they actually came back. You see what I'm saying here? There's this bond. This is real. It's precious. We're in it. We're sons and daughters of the Almighty. My dearest companion in this life is my wife, right? She's the most precious of my, but she's chiefly my sister in Christ. Think about that. The Puritans were right. Husband and wife for a season, brother and sister for eternity. We talk to each other about these things. You think we'll get to talk in heaven every now and about the grandkids and memories we have? We wonder about these things, but we will be in a whole new dimension, right? In a whole new world, a kingdom. But the point is we're joined. We're joined together. I love it when these young children, when these young ones are converted, they're following Jesus just to get to know them. Just let them open up. Share with us. These home visits, when the kids will share and get to ask questions. Let me wind down here. The bond that we have is for the rest of our life. Not likely all of us in this room today are still going to be in this church in 10 years. That's not what I'm trying to promote. I'm not saying it's us four and no more. I'm saying His people in the earth is your people. If you move in the will of God in the next 2 years to Canada or South America, find the people of Jesus Christ and get in with them. That's it. Get in with them. Follow Jesus because He's with His people. Man, it's beautiful. It's awesome. In the Gospels, these men, Matthew and these men, they were called in and they were with Jesus. They leave everything that they've been about, and they join themselves to Him, and they spend 3 years with the Master. Phenomenal. Can you imagine the chats they had around food or events? What they said when Jesus would finally rest them, what they said, did you see what He did? Right? Just blows us away, doesn't it? They're in awe, and yet they're in it together. Is that kind of what y'all were doing? Y'all testifying? We're in awe of our great Savior, our great God. We hear it together. Then He did that for them. He'll do this for me. He loves to show Himself strong. Bob Jennings preached that sermon years ago. Somebody needs to find that thing. I tell you what, you want to hear Bob Jennings go through that passage. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. It'll get your attention. Because he believed it. He saw God do that in his life. For 3 years. The point is, the apostles, they weren't just writers and men defending the truth. They were walking together. They lived it together. They're united in that they took the gospel to the lost world in the book of Acts. They turned the world upside down. They worked in groupings. They went out, but they were knit together. And as God brought Christians in, they were knit together, continuing, knitting the people of God together, teaching them all these things. They lived and they labored and they loved in devotion to Jesus' people while He was here and after He ascended to heaven. And that's what we're in on together. Sinclair Ferguson. When the shepherd calls his sheep to him, they inevitably come nearer to each other. When you come to Christ, you are at the same time drawn nearer to others who have come to Him. And you know this experience. We live it together. But you'll meet a Christian maybe in an airport, or you'll meet a Christian in your business or things that you're doing. And man, it's like, whoa, there is a connection. It's glorious. And I know that different men like Michael and even Mac, you know, they've traveled and they've gone to different places and different languages and different history and different cultures. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is absolutely the same. It is the same. The songs of God, the praises of God, they vary because of the types of music or the types of wording and all that they put together, but they're all full of the majesty of Jesus Christ. As they say, the Lord Jesus is the universal language. He's the universal one. He's the King. Saints, let me close. I ask, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? There's realities to it. There's realities how you live, how I live, what I'll be doing today or this week, what I'll be reading, those kinds of things. But I leave these with you to think about. It means to believe. It's absolutely put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that you submit to Him. He is the authority. I follow Him. It means to obey what He says, fleeing sin and going to that which is holy in what He gives. Fourth, knowing that opposition will come, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And lastly, to be devoted to His people, His church, His gathered people in the earth. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let me pray. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for these moments where we see You giving this command. Lord, it's the same command You're giving today in this room and in the earth. Follow Me. Oh, You're worthy of all. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. We're here. We're Yours. For Jesus' sake, amen.